It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This will be third in a series about personal evangelism, and I would entitle this lesson, To Witness is Good. And Proverbs chapter 25, verse 35 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We bring good news from a far country. You can't get much further than heaven. We have the good news because we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's a way that we are to approach personal evangelism. First, let me ask this. What is evangelism? Well, there are, needless to say, different ideas as to what evangelism is. It all depends on who you ask. I am confident that the best definition for any biblical principle is still found in the Bible itself. If evangelism is not a biblical principle, then let's just forget about it. But biblical personal evangelism is found in the Word of God. However, there are definitions of evangelism that are man-made ideas not found in God's book. Personal evangelism can be spreading the gospel by public preaching. Now, there's many ways that we can do this, that it can be done. Let's think of it like this. Let me ask the question again. What is evangelism? I believe that personal evangelism by the Word of God is giving the plan of salvation using God's Word. Personal evangelism is spreading the gospel by personal witnessing. Personal evangelism is when you get personally involved. Instead of attracting a crowd and going out and preaching on the street, we could go to the crowd. Sporting events, family, homecomings, campgrounds, anywhere there's a crowd, we can go and do personal evangelism. Well, let's look at the word evangelist for a moment. The word evangelist appears in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 and Acts chapter 21 verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and does not occur anywhere else in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Acts 21 verse 8, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Do you consider yourself an evangelist? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist, it says. That is, preach Christ crucified for the sins of the whole world. For this is, and this alone, is doing the work of an evangelist or preacher of the glad tidings of peace and salvation by Jesus Christ. Let me quickly add here that some would say, well, that's being taught to those people who were alive back when Paul wrote this, when he said that we're to do the work, or that they were to do the work of an evangelist giving out the Word of God. Well, let me say this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for whom? For everybody. Not only those people who lived back when Paul had written this down according to God that gave him what he needed to write down. And by the way, this is God-breathed. This is written to us. We are to look at this and understand that Christ speaks to our hearts as we look into His Scripture, and He tells us that we're to do the work of an evangelist. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, that's us, who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that is, or in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And whether you realize it or not, you're a preacher. You are to give out the Word of God. Now, I don't mean you have to stand in the pulpit to be a preacher. You don't have to do that because you are a preacher. You're to give out the Word of God. You're to proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at something. Approaching personal evangelism properly. Let me say there's some things that we shouldn't do. We are never to use an activity involving sin and call it personal evangelism. We are never to have an activity that has the appearance of sin and call it personal evangelism. We are not to use trickery when it comes to personal evangelism. We're to be real. Everything presented in personal evangelism must be true and not make-believe. We are never to allow anything presented in personal evangelism to overshadow God's Word. Now, there are evangelistic approaches that we need to look at. There's such a thing as lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism says, live right and people will ask about God. Live right and people will see the gospel in one's life. That opens the door for us to present Jesus Christ. Lifestyle evangelism is a method built on the foundation of how one lives, with the idea that one's life will lead others to Christ, or at least lead others to ask about Him. Notice the word strength. Strength encourages righteousness, living, and self-evaluation for the person using it. Well, this helps one's life agree with the gospel if listening to the Lord. Strength, righteousness. Be strong in righteousness. Live well for the Lord. Live right for the Lord. A weakness. It's not biblical evangelism. Only a means to possible evangelism. This method, as we look at this method, it uses a highly passive approach. In other words, when we get to the point that we are not able to do anything, we understand that we're nothing without Jesus Christ, that we are to give out the gospel that He is the only one who can save. Biblical evangelism is to present Jesus Christ. We are weak without Jesus Christ. We are weak, but we can present the power of God into salvation to this lost and dying world. Lifestyle evangelism is best summed up in a phrase I've heard many times. My life is my witness. Well, that statement, however, falls apart. It's good to have a good witness. It's good to have a good lifestyle. It's good to live right for the Lord. But the person who is depending on their witness to save someone, it's not going to work. You witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Witness to what? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Your witness is not to be about your life, but the life of Christ. Your witness, although it needs to be above reproach, your witness, your testimony needs to be one that people can look at and say, that person is living for the Lord. That person is living right. That should be your witness, but your witness is not going to save anyone. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that people get saved. You simply cannot depend on your flesh to get the job done. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We must have the power of God on our lives to do personal evangelism. You have the power. It's just a matter of letting that power use you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. I've noticed something here. Event evangelism. Well, this is a popular method among churches. Churches have revival services, so-called revival, vacation Bible school, and so forth. An outreach event is held, and the public is invited, and ideally, the gospel is shared with those who attend. Notice, there's a strength in this. It builds on public interest. Event evangelism can generate name identification for the church or group. Well, there's a weakness involved in this, event evangelism. It often builds name identification for the church or group, but does very little for the gospel. And it can be quite expensive. Attendance to these events are often primarily those within the church, sponsoring the event, and other community churches. Some call revival services, gospel concerts, and similar events, event evangelism. Well, with the event, whatever it might be, most Christians do not have to evangelize, nor choose to evangelize. And I see in the final analysis here about event evangelism, events should be about promoting the gospel, not promoting the church. Event promotion should be to the community, not merely to other churches, and should ensure that the gospel is clearly presented. Events are never a substitute for church-wide personal evangelism. Well, now there's something called neighborhood evangelism, and this is door-to-door. This method involves going to homes and sharing the gospel. Now, we do not have to push the gospel down a person's throat. Sharing your faith shouldn't be hard on your neighbor's dental work. In other words, shoving the Bible at them. Although, the Bible is to be used to help them understand their need for a Savior. Now, strength in this is this. It's great for personal evangelism. Great for personal contact with new visitors that come into a church. Easily scheduled and inexpensive. That means it's easy to go out. Easy to make arrangements to go out and knock on doors to lead people to the Lord. Well, there's a weakness here. Participation of church members is generally very low. And that's sad. Studies have shown that as many or more than 85% of church members are pew warmers. And that's it. Well, what's the final analysis of this type of evangelism, neighborhood evangelism? If not done properly, neighborhood evangelism often becomes more about church promotion and visiting new members rather than proclaiming the gospel. Well, presenting the gospel is what shows people how to make sure of heaven. And that's what we need to do, no matter what form we take in evangelizing. We need to present Jesus Christ. We need to let people know that Jesus saves, and we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to participate in God's ministry. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, we have not received the grace of God in vain because we're on our way to heaven. And we need to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's many things that happen once we do this. It unifies the church body when we work together. It fulfills the Great Commission when we go into the highways and hedges and we bid people to come in, not simply to the church, but into the family of God. Get busy for the Lord. Let the Lord lead you. Let him use you to lead other people to him. Tell them that Jesus saves, and then tell them how Jesus saves. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.